This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. I'm your host Keetana Tiwari and you're listening to another episode of In the News, where we cover all the top stories from India and around the world. Today is Tuesday, 21st Jan, and before we move on to the stories, here's a word on our Money Control app. The Money Control app has added some interesting features. Download it now to check them out. Moving on to today's top stories. First up, Zomato acquires Uber Eats in an all-stock deal. Indians are the second largest immigrant group in the US after the Mexicans. News reports say that IMF chief economist Geeta Gopinath said India needs investments and it's important to encourage it. The Reserve Bank of India said in a statement to the Supreme Court that it had not banned the cryptocurrencies in India. Zomato acquires Uber Eats in an all-stock deal. Siddesh, how would such a acquisition work?
Well, Zomato will agree to buy Uber Technologies' Indian food delivery business and an all-stock deal. And Uber, in turn, will get a 9.9% stake in the Gurugram-based company, Zomato. And the deal, according to reports, is supposed to be expected to be around $350 million.
How would this acquisition affect Uber Eats, customers of Uber Eats?
Well, Zomato had said that Uber Eats would discontinue its operations in India and it will direct all its restaurants and delivery partners to the Zomato platform,
right,
effective from today, which is January of 21st. And all customers that were availing the services of Uber Eats will now be shifted to Zomato from 7 a.m. today.
Siddesh, also, what would be the reasons behind this deal? Because... was it an expected move?
Keetana, the thing is, the food business is a highly competitive space. Margins are low. And the thing is, the food delivery space is, the food aggregator, the food delivery space is getting more and more consolidated. And this is obviously expected to make a lot of business sense for Uber because after its very lackluster IPO that took place last year, Uber is looking to trim operations that are basically not sustainable for it in the future. We have seen that in the past, it has given up its operations in China to a certain extent. We have seen in the past that it's given up some of its Southeast Asian operations by selling its stake in Southeast Asian cab aggregators to its local competitors. And it's been trimming its operations in the hope of showing more profitability. It basically spread itself out too far, too quick. And now it's just trying to recover base and get itself together and hopefully move towards more sustainable profits.
Right. Thank you so much, Siddesh, for all these updates.
Thank you so much, Keetana.
According to reports, Indians are the second largest immigrant group in the US after the Mexicans. To talk more about this, I have Shraddha Sharma with me. Hi, Shraddha.
Hi, Keetana.
Tell me more about this report, Shraddha. What does it say exactly?
So, basically, India-born individuals constituted around 6.9% of the total number of the new citizens. And that is actually a rise of 2.7% if we compare it to the previous year.
Okay.
And many immigrants residing in the United States actually want to vote ahead of the upcoming U.S. elections. And this is what the Times of India also reported. And the decision is affected by the uncertainty over President Trump's immigration policy, though.
Okay.
If I go through the report, the fiscal year 2019 that actually ended in September witnessed an 11-year high number of immigrants confer American citizenships, a total of 8.34 lakh people. If I had to put the number, actually received U.S. citizenship in the year. And that is 9.5% if we compare it above, if we compare it to the previous year.
Right.
And as I said, India-born individuals are around 52,000 people who were granted U.S. citizenship in year 2018. And they actually become the second largest immigrant group after Mexicans. And if I had to go through the numbers, then third are the Chinese.
Right.
And according to another report released by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, which has, you know, country of birth data.
Okay.
So that points out, as I said, that India-born individuals constituted a total number of new citizens up to 6.9%. And China, if I talk about, it has 39,600 Chinese immigrants who were granted U.S. Citizenship.
Right.
So in that terms, Indians occupied the fourth slot with green cards being allotted to them.
Okay.
That is 5.45% of the total number. So after Mexico, Cuba, China, you know, respectively, the fourth spot goes to India.
Okay.
And in terms of green card recipients. And India-born people were the second spot behind Mexico in the green card backlog.
Okay.
That is the report citing data collected by the COTO, a US-based think tank. And 9.2 lakh Indians were caught up in the backlog in both family and employment categories. That makes up to 19% of the total backlog.
Okay.
So we have that number.
Thanks, Shraddha, for all these details.
Thank you, Kirtana, for having me.
News reports say that IMF chief economist Geeta Gopinath said India needs investments and it's important to encourage it. To talk more about this, I have Siddesh with me. Hi, Siddesh. Could you provide us some context to her statement?
Hi, Kirtana. Thank you for having me here. Well, Geeta Gopinath had said this statement when she was asked about Commerce Minister Piyush Goyal's comment concerning Amazon, the Amazon founder Jeff Bezos' intention to invest $1 billion in India.
Right.
And he had said that Amazon is not doing any favors to India by investing $1 billion in the country. In reply to that, Geeta Gopinath had said that investments are very much needed in India and it's very important that India keeps encouraging investments into the country. And there's also the larger context of slowed economic growth, which has been seen in this last several quarters. Just to give some context to Piyush Goyal's statement, he had said this around the time when the Amazon founder had come to India.
Right.
And he had made the statement about investing $1 billion. And around the same time, the Competition Commission of India had also launched an inquiry into, or rather had launched an investigation into the discounts, the deep discounts that have been offered by these e-commerce giants.
Yeah.
Like Amazon. News reports also say that Walmart may also be under the scrutiny of regulators for something similar.
Okay.
And this also comes in the backdrop of several protests by the small traders who have been unable to compete with Amazon, with or rather e-commerce companies like Amazon and Flipkart's deep discounts, and which is creating havoc for their margins.
Okay. And like you rightly said, India is going through a slowdown and this comment comes at a very important time. Mm-hmm. Did she say anything else about the growth of India and the future?
Well, Geeta Gopinath had also said concerning India in particular that it could be likely that they could see some uptick in India's economic status in the coming two quarters. But there are some high frequency indicators that show that recovery is still a little far away from the horizon. And I quote from the statement that she had made.
Right.
Where she said, that is what is leading us to reevaluate our assessment that was put on in October. End quote.
What about the trajectory for the global growth? Did she say anything about that?
Well, Geeta Gopinath did say something about the global growth, and it said that, Geeta Gopinath did say that India was the biggest contributor to the downward revision in growth projections for emerging market and developing economies.
Okay.
And, she had went on to say that in a blog post that while there are signs of stabilization, global growth outlook does remain a bit sluggish, and there might not be any signs of a turning point anytime soon. And that's why she also went on to urge policymakers to keep pushing reforms to ensure that recoveries take place. IMF's World Economic Outlook report for 2020 had also said, and I quote, "For emerging market and developing economies, we forecast a pickup in growth from 3.7% in 2019 to 4.4% in 2020 and 4.6% in 2021. This is a downward revision of 0.2% for all years. The biggest contributor to the revision is India, where growth slowed sharply owing to stress in the non-banking financial sector and weak rural income growth."
Did she say anything about the role of RBI's monetary policy, especially that it's coming, the meeting is coming right after the budget?
Yes, well, Geeta Gopinath did acknowledge the fact that the RBI has been cutting rates. In fact, it has cut rates by 135 basis points this year.
Right.
And that is a significant amount of stimulus. And the IMF's chief economist acknowledged that these steps have been taken to improve the demand, or rather to improve economic conditions on ground. And however, she's also noted that the response or the effect of these monetary policy decisions actually reflect in the economy with a lag. So we would be expecting to see these benefits to take place on ground, but more so later in 2020.
Okay. Let's hope that the economy does improve, like she says. The Reserve Bank of India said in a statement to the Supreme Court that it had not banned cryptocurrencies in India. To tell me more about this, I have Ruchira with me. Hi, Ruchira.
Hi, Keetana.
Can you tell us what exactly, why exactly the RBI has given the statement?
So this was part of a Supreme Court hearing. So this particular clarification was given by the RBI as part of an affidavit that they filed with the Supreme Court. The Internet and Mobile Association of India had filed a petition against the RBI's restrictions on cryptocurrency, following which the RBI issued a clarification to the Supreme Court saying that they have only done ring fencing. In effect, what this means is that they've prohibited their entities that come under the RBI, such as banks, of course. They have prohibited entities such as banks from dealing with cryptocurrencies. So indirectly, this is a ban, but the RBI has clearly stated that it's not a blanket ban across the country. The RBI still has an anti-cryptocurrency stance, in the sense that they are still leaning towards banning cryptocurrency, but they also maintain that it does not exactly fall under their purview. And if cryptocurrency is to be banned across India, it will have to be done through a law, which means a bill will have to be passed through parliament, etc.
Okay, so RBI is basically trying to say that we cannot do any bank transactions to buy cryptocurrency, right?
Exactly. That is effectively what they mean.
Why exactly is RBI against purchase of cryptocurrency?
So the RBI worries that virtual currencies might be used for terror financing and money laundering.
Okay.
RBI Governor Shaktikanta Das recently said currency issuance is a sovereign function. A private currency cannot override sovereign mandate.
Okay.
And there are huge challenges around money laundering. This is what he said just earlier this month.
Okay.
So it's not just India and in the Indian Central Bank that's worried about cryptocurrencies. There are other countries as well that are trying to figure out how
to regulate virtual currencies, given that they have been gaining popularity and have been increasing in value. Bitcoin, from like 7 to 8 years ago, has seen a tremendous jump in value. So whether it's the US, France, China in particular, a lot of countries are trying to figure out how to regulate this.
Okay.
Facebook is trying to launch its own cryptocurrency called Libra, okay, which is facing issues in the US, mostly over privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And major financial services companies such as Wells Fargo and JP Morgan,
mm-hmm,
have been testing digital currencies. So the technology is evolving. It is still relatively new, which is why it is going to take central banks around the world some time to figure out how to regulate it and to what extent to regulate it, whether to ban it, not ban it. China, which for a long time had an anti-cryptocurrency stance, recently said they are trying to come out with their own digital currency.
Okay.
So it's pretty interesting, and we'll have to see how different countries respond to it.
And you, as you rightly said, it would be very difficult to figure out this, the legalities of this currency. Is there any future to this particular Supreme Court case? Has there been any mention from the court?
So one more hearing is expected to be conducted today, following which there will be probably be one more update tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, Ruchira, for all these details.
Thank you.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of In the News. If you have any queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.